And we have our guest on right now, the Chicago farmer. His name is Cody Dickoff, and he is with us now. Good morning, Cody.
How are you?
I'm doing great. So you are going to be here in concert. We just played a couple of your songs. We played The Dirtiest Uniform and Farmers and Factories. You have a strong farm background. I'm looking at a lot of your songs, and they are kind of the salt of the earth song. So let's talk a little bit about you. Where you came from, and how'd you get where you are today in the band, the Chicago Farmers?
Yeah, I grew up in a town called Delavan, Illinois. It's about 1,700 people in central Illinois. And, grew up in my small town, baling hay and walking beans and digging fence posts. All my grandparents were family farmers and veterans, and kind of inspired the work ethic that I have now for music. And, I've been traveling around the country nonstop playing these songs that I've written that they've inspired me to write. And I kind of take them with me wherever I go in those small town roots.
So when you were farming, was it a crop farm or did you have animals or what was it like?
My grandparents had dairy way back in the day, but for me it was mostly corn and beans and baling hay and all that stuff. And, being on the rack while Grandpa pulls you with his tractor and trying to stack the hay bales, as high as I could. All my cousins were like 6'5", and I was 5'10", so I had a hard time keeping up with them. But, I always did my best. That's kind of what inspired the Dirtiest Uniform song.
Where did the music come in then? If you're on this farm baling hay, that's hard work, because I know I'm a farm girl myself, and you're married to the farm when you're there. So where did the music part come in your life?
Well, I think in high school I was in I had a lot of study halls when I was in school. We kind of ran out of things to do, so they just gave us these study halls where we would just sit with an hour, and we were supposed to do our homework and study. But really, I started writing. I started writing stories, and I started writing poems. And then a few months later, I bought my very first acoustic guitar, and then I started kind of taking those stories and those poems and turning them into music. And I learned the chords on the guitar, and the next thing I know, I was writing songs. And the next thing I know, I was traveling around Illinois, playing wherever I could in coffee shops or bars. And then the next thing I know, I was expanding to Wisconsin and Minnesota and all over the Midwest. And I've been kind of taking that poetry and putting it into motion ever since.
Now, it says you were profoundly inspired by John Prine. So let's talk about that,
sure.
His influence, because we have a lot of our listeners who are huge John Prine fans.
Yeah, I it took me a while to find that music, but when I moved to Chicago, the only way I could afford to live in Chicago was to have 6 roommates, and they were all in a band. So I kind of needed to get away, and so my spot to get away was the Old Town School of Folk Music. I went there and took harmonica lessons and really started falling in love with John Prine and Steve Goodman and Arlo Guthrie. And there's been a lot of songwriters that have really hit me over the years, but nobody's really hit me or as much as John Prine. His music just really resonates with me. And he used to deliver the mail, and I used to deliver pizzas and deliver flowers. And so, we're practically related, I feel like, him from being from Maywood, Illinois, and me being just down the road.
Did you actually get to see him in concert then, or any of those guys, Arlo or Steve Goodman?
I actually got to see Prine at the Rialto Theater in Joliet during his Tree of Forgiveness tour, and it was beautiful. I kicked myself, because I've been trying to do my own career and play my own shows. I kicked myself for not getting to see him more, but it was everything that I ever hoped for. It was an emotional roller coaster and just a beautiful performance and thing to witness. I was in tears by the end, for sure.
And you have a band, so there's other folks with you. Tell us about your band.
Yeah, I've been touring as a solo act for about 15 years, but about 5 years ago I started playing with friends just to mix things up a little bit. And the music is still really story-driven and song-driven, but I just got some guys to back me up to kind of give it pack a little more punch and to make things a little more fun. It's still like 90% about connecting with the audience with the songs and the stories, and then the other 10% of the time, I let the guys show off, because they're pretty talented, and they spend a lot of time in the van, so they deserve a little time to show off.
Do you live in the van or not anymore?
pretty, mu- Pretty much. I'm talking to you today from Denver, Colorado. We're in a hotel. This tour took us from Chicago to Seattle and back. And so we're going to be seeing y'all on Thursday on our way back home. So I haven't seen my wife and dog for about 3 weeks, so aww. I'm looking forward to that. But we're going to put on a good show Thursday and everywhere else we're playing to close out the tour.
Do you play with other groups ever? Are you a solo? I mean, in terms of your band, one on the stage, or do you have other folks you maybe open for?
Yeah, I've had the chance to open for Todd Snyder and some other great acts like in the Twin Cities, like Charlie Parr and folks like that. So I do a mix of about half the time of my career I travel around solo, kind of do the troubadour thing, and the other half the time I play with the band. But yeah, sometimes we open for folks, sometimes they open for us. Just kind of whatever depends, you know. We were just in Seattle, and I think there were three bands on the bill, so we got to team up with some local acts, and we love doing that. But, yeah, pretty much whatever we can do to make the show the best it can be. I think on Thursday, it's going to be just us.
Okay, so what can people expect this Thursday for your concert?
There's a lot of background about the songs in between songs. Sometimes we have a little bit of a folk rock sound, Americana sound, but we also have a mandolin and fiddle, so we kind of switch back and forth from this Americana folk type of music to also, you know, we have a little bluegrass elements as well. So I think you're going to get some songs that you're going to like and be able to sing along, and you're going to see a band that's really tight but really mixes things up. I think, you know, even though a lot of the themes might be similar, the sounds in each song is completely different. And once you think we sound a certain way, then the next song we're going to totally flip the script, and you're going to hear something completely different.
I'm wondering, since your grandparents were farmers and they had that really strong yep. work ethic, you know, you work with your hands. You're a musician. You strum your guitar and you sing. What do they think of that? Do they think, ah, oh, he's getting off easy, or do they realize that it's a lot of hard work too? I'm just curious.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, I have a lot of friends who have called my music like working class music, and I kind of laugh because I'm not working class. I just sing about it, you know, but somebody's got to represent the folks that are doing it. But no, my grandparents are really, really proud. They know how hard I've worked on it. I lost one set of my grandparents, but my grandma's 95, and we just lost my grandpa a couple weeks ago, who was 101.
Oh,
so
I'm sorry.
They lived really long, legendary lives, and they loved to see their grandson out working hard and singing songs for people. They were really proud, and I was grateful to have them in my life for that long.
Are those people who formed your life, your grandparents, your parents, the farm, in your songs quite a bit, or do you write about other things as well?
Yeah, they are. I mean, I kind of write about whatever's around me. So the first 20 years of my life were pretty much all my small town experiences in the farm. And then in 2003, I moved to Chicago, and I still kind of had my roots in my songs. But, you know, I started writing more songs about Chicago and what life was like around me up there. And as I would travel around the country, you know, other things that I would see, I think whatever you experience eventually flows into your writing. And I've experienced a lot in a lot of different places. So it's all there in the songs.
I noticed in a bio of yours, it says you listened to punk rock and garage music as a kid before you discovered a friend's dad playing Hank Williams. So it was a revelation for you. So I'm just curious, what age were you when all this happened, and what was the revelation, the aha moment?
Yeah, I think I was in my late teens, or, you know, 17, 18 years old was when, you know, Nirvana was really popular, and Pearl Jam and bands like that. And my friends were really into more punk rock music, like Fugazi and Minor Threat and things like that. And I was into that, but, you know, it was mostly all I ever heard, because all I would hear what was on the radio or what my friends would play. And after listening to really loud music one day, I walked downstairs and my friend's dad was playing a Hank Williams song just on an acoustic guitar. And I was like, wow, I'm like feeling that, just him singing with an acoustic guitar. I'm feeling that more than I'm hearing this band upstairs like full blast. You know, it just resonated with me more. So I don't know. I think, you know, where I'm from, the simplicities of life always seem to just come through and shine the best. And that's when I kind of got away from the harder music into the more simpler, acoustic, folky kind of music that I'm more into now.
Did you change radio stations and heard John Prine, or how did you happen to learn about him then? Because, you know, we're talking Hank Williams, and that's country, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, John Prine, I really didn't know until I moved to Chicago, and obviously, you know, he's the hero of Chicago, and music-wise, you know, it's kind of Michael Jordan and John Prine are kind of the heroes of Chicago when it comes to that. So, yeah, you learned about him pretty quick, and then... At the Old Town School of Folk Music, I started learning more and more about him and his songs. And, yeah, there were a lot more radio stations that played a more variety of things. Obviously, the city is quite a bit more diverse in all things, but especially in styles of music.
How have you adapted to that city life coming from a small community of 1,700?
It was tricky. I mean, it was pretty scary at first, to be honest. I'm used to driving down country roads, not, you know, getting cut off on the interstate in Chicago. But it turns out that there, I was playing at a bar and I didn't really know what to do. And so I played one of my small town songs, and it turned out that, you know, a pretty good amount of people at this bar were actually from other small towns in Illinois too. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to try to be somebody I'm not. I'm just going to be myself. I'm going to play all the songs that I have. And it turns out that, you know, there was a pretty sizable amount of people that are also from small towns who moved to Chicago to kind of pursue their dreams. So I was kind of singing to them, and it kind of connected. And then it didn't take long before I started writing songs about Chicago, because it has a lot of ups and downs. And it's not hard to get a song of living in Chicago for a month or so.
So I was wondering, being from the farm, I'm from the farm, and the work ethic is very, very much, you work all the time whenever you need it, you know, all kinds of weather, et cetera.
Yeah.
So almost I would think, and maybe I'm wrong about this, but as a musician, it would seem being on the road might be not physical labor, but almost more difficult. And can you kind of distinguish between the two in terms of how they might differ? You know, you're not used working with your hands so much as you are, it's a constant travel, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, my grandpa's farm wasn't huge, so he worked really, really hard. But, you know, in the later years, he kind of had it down to a science where you kind of just get in a groove. And I'm kind of the same way. And just like a lot of my grandfather's time spent in the tractor, you know, I'm in the van. I'm behind the wheel. I spend a lot of time behind the wheel. But that's kind of where I get ideas. And I think anybody that's working kind of comes up with ideas and things and dreams, and so I do that a lot. Yeah, mentally it can be a little more, it can be pretty exhausting, but, you know, it's the greatest job in the world, and like I said, I feel like I'm kind of a representative of people back home who I grew up with who are still getting their hands dirty and working long hours every day, so that kind of motivates me to keep pressing on. And if I have to wake up early in the morning to hit the road, you know, I know there's somebody, a farmer or a truck driver, waking up way earlier than me. And if it gets frustrating, you know, then I know, you know, I've known a lot of folks who are teachers and therapists, and I'm sure my job's nowhere near as frustrating as theirs is. So I consider myself lucky, and we work hard at it, but it's not really hard work.
Well, you are coming on Thursday, and it is a 7:30 show here on the campus at Minnesota State University in the Halling Recital Hall. We are all looking forward to have you coming here. What is one of your favorite songs that you've written?
One is, speaking of my grandparents, it's called The $20 Bill. When I was young, my grandma used to give me like a dollar to put in my shoe in case of emergency. And then when I started driving, I got a raise, and she started giving me a $5. And then when she found out I was moving to Chicago, she got pretty worried about me. So I got a raise, and she started giving me a $20. So I always had a $20 bill in my shoe in case of an emergency. And this song is kind of about that and how it came in really handy one day after I was living in the city. So we'll definitely be playing that one on Thursday. It's my grandparents' favorite song. I think other folks will enjoy it too.
So where did it come in handy? Can you share the story? I'm going to play it after we're done talking here so people can hear it. But just
yeah, it's called the $20 bill. So this person kind of came to I was on a train late at night, and this guy wanted my guitar, and he wanted it really bad, but I wanted it more. And so I said, hold on, I'll give you this $20 bill. It's in my shoe. And then the punchline of the song is, which I don't want to give away, but I guess I will, is that I also kept my grandpa's pocket knife in my shoe next to the $20 bill. And that's how I got out of the situation. So
wow.
It's kind of a song about taking my grandparents' roots into the big city with me.
Another one I noticed that gets listened to a lot, I was looking on some of the number of spins you've gotten, is the $13 beers. Let's talk about $13 beers, because
yeah.
That sounds like something you would, when you go to an arena or stadium or something, it's ridiculous how much they charge for things. So I assume that's maybe what that's about.
That is definitely, me taking a shot at them. And unfortunately, with inflation, the song, we upped it, now it's $15 beers. Because it keeps getting higher and higher. So, but yeah, I was at an arena show, and you know, some of these bands have a lot of success, and I'm happy for them. But man, you know, $15 for a beer—that's pretty brutal on a folk, someone like me who's used to drinking, you know, High Lifes or PBRs for a couple bucks in my hometown bar. So yeah, it's an eye opener for sure. But we have a lot of fun with that song. There's definitely some humor in the songs that I think people will enjoy.
Anything else we should know about you, Cody, that you think is important for people who may be coming to hear you?
We're really excited. This sounds like a perfect place for us to do our thing in a hall where, you know, people are attentive and into it. And we've played so many times in the Twin Cities, but this will be our first time seeing y'all. So I can't wait to play a new place. It's always exciting.
We are talking with Cody Dickoff, and he is with the Chicago Farmer, and we are pleased to welcome him to Mankato on Thursday here on the campus at Minnesota State. Thank you so much, Cody, for your time, and I'm going to play your $20 bill song now.
All right. Thank you all so much. We'll see you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.